Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. To one extent or another, all of us are subject to being overly fascinated by what we see on this side of the mirror. When you stand directly in front of the glass, there is really only one subject, one topic in view, and that is, of course, yourself. And the perpetual question that a quick glance or a long look or maybe even a more obsessive stare always asks is, of course, how do I look? I recall a TV sitcom sketch from some years ago in which the viewer was looking in on a little girl who was fascinated by what she saw reflected in the glass. And eventually, the audience hears the girl just talking to herself finally conclude, "I look good." And the audience laughs, and it all seems innocent enough. But taken to the extreme, we're reminded, perhaps, of that fable where the queen asks her magic mirror, "Who's the fairest of them all?" And of course, we all know the answer that she was looking for. Whether you look into a mirror and are satisfied with what you see, or you would really rather see a variety of changes, that little moment of privacy is by no means the only way in which we ask, "How do I look?" You don't need to be standing in front of a mirror for all of your thoughts to be entirely inwardly focused upon yourself. It's not necessarily a physical appearance question. How do I look? It can also be a question of personal standing, of stature, reputation. It's a question that could be translated, "Where do I stand? What do they think of me?" Either variation of that question places the focus entirely on oneself. Our Lord addresses this temptation to focus upon ourselves, how we look, what we think our status is or ought to be, through the two banquet illustrations in our gospel reading for today. In the first one, he portrays the arrival of guests at a wedding banquet, tempted to choose the very best seats for themselves. Now, a wedding banquet might no longer be the scene in which Jesus' teaching applies in our society, our culture today. It seems like most wedding receptions are already entirely planned before you arrive. So all you need to do is show up and find your name on a little card and the table number that corresponds with your name, and that's where you sit. So as I was thinking about Jesus' point, it called to mind for me the corporate meeting room. Now, maybe you've been in an experience like this, big table in some sort of organization or business where everyone knows that the boss is going to sit down here on the end. And I've been there. I've been in those circumstances where before the meeting, you can tell there is a subtle but very clear competition for who's going to sit closest to the seats of power. And if you choose a seat that well exceeds your station in the company, you may very well be asked to get up and move down to the end. And you can imagine that is embarrassing indeed. But whatever the setting, Jesus' caution is the same. Approach those moments with humility, not presuming to assign honor to yourself. Jesus warns against this kind of self-aggrandizement and the shame that can follow if you are indeed asked to forfeit that seat of honor you chose for yourself and take the lowliest place. On the other hand, Jesus also portrays the honor bestowed upon the humble. The person who doesn't focus on his own stature. In this banquet illustration, the humble heart of the guest who chose a lowly place is greatly rewarded by that invitation to come up instead to a place of higher honor. Now, if you were with us last week, you'll recall that Pastor Jennings told the story of two Olympic athletes. They weren't competing for a place of honor at a wedding banquet or in a corporate meeting room. They were competing for a place on the medal winner's podium. But as you may recall, Abby D'Agostino and Nikki Hamblin were competing in the women's 5,000-meter run when both of them stumbled. Now, each could have left the other behind in an effort to focus on themselves and try to salvage their race and earn a place to compete in the championship run. Instead, as Pastor explained, Abby helped Nikki to her feet, and then in turn, Nikki helped Abby to her feet when she stumbled again. One could say that they accepted the lowliest places in the competition to literally lift up a fellow competitor. Now, here's the remarkable rest of the story. Maybe you saw this in the news, but last week it was announced by the International Olympic Committee that they have conferred upon these two ladies a highly regarded award called the Pierre de Coubertin Medal. The award is named after the father of the modern Olympic Games. It is not necessarily awarded at every Olympic competition, but it is done so for exceptional displays of Olympic spirit and sportsmanship. And so, Abby and Nikki will be only the 18th and 19th recipients of this special award in the history of modern Olympics. Jesus said, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." It can be said of these two competitors that they humbled themselves in an environment that highly regards personal achievement and performance. And they were, it can be said, exalted by the reception of this rare award and honor. Our Lord picks up on this theme of humble service in the second part of his teaching, encouraging the one who hosts the banquet to invite those who could never repay that act of generosity. But let's first note what Jesus isn't saying. First of all, he isn't saying that you can't host a banquet with your friends and family and your neighbors. He is again focusing on a matter of the heart. Is your purpose in hosting such an event to look good? Or is your motive to humbly serve without the thought of reward? Our Lord calls upon us to look beyond ourselves, beyond the mirror, beyond the status, and toward the needs of others. And at the conclusion of that brief encouragement, Jesus makes very clear where his teaching is headed. His immediate hearers at the dinner that he was attending were, of course, the Pharisees. This was a group of religious leaders and adherents who had made a career out of looking good, seeking the places of honor, ingratiating themselves into the highest social circles. They were the societal insiders and power brokers. They knew it, and Jesus knew it. And their social and religious stature had given them a sense of deserving the greater honor that was to come in the kingdom of God. And that's why Jesus needed them to hear his teaching, and he invites us to hear the same. For in the kingdom of God, you cannot choose your place at the table. You can't look good enough, be wealthy enough, be politically correct, connected enough. You can't be sufficiently decorated with medals or awards or amass such a track record of earthly success as to earn a place at that table. For the Pharisees, as for anyone who spends too much time enamored by their own image, whether it's in a mirror or otherwise, that was unwelcome news. The Pharisees were offended. And in our day, others are just kind of put off to learn that their performance or their stature will not earn them a place at God's table. On the other hand, that same news really for us should come as a great relief. You don't need to gaze at your own life all the time. You are free to focus your attention on those beyond yourself, to focus on our Lord himself. Because the master of the banquet in the kingdom of God has already paid the price for you to have a place at his table. You cannot and you need not repay it. Jesus took on the lowliest, the most humiliated place in all of human history in order to make a place for you at the table. I mean, not only was he killed on the most notorious symbol of shame and humiliation that the ancient world could construct, he was moreover forsaken by God the Father because he was carrying upon himself all of the shame, all of the humility, all of the sin and burden that all of us carry around. And in all of history, he took all that upon himself. His murderers couldn't see it. His disciples didn't really understand it. But Jesus' lowly humiliation was greater than anyone had ever suffered before or since. And after that, God exalted him to the very highest place in the kingdom. He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father beside the throne of God, to whom Paul exclaims that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Because Jesus willingly gave up his place of honor, was so completely humbled, and is now exalted, we have a place at the table. It doesn't matter whether you look good on the outside. It doesn't matter what you feel on the inside. It doesn't matter where you might belong at any earthly banquet table or corporate meeting room. It doesn't matter where you are in line for medals and honors and success. It doesn't matter. Because Jesus' sacrifice already completed for you is all that truly, eternally matters. And so let your life be a focus beyond yourself, loving without condition, serving without reward, honoring without comparison. And all the while, as we have now said so often as we continue our reading through Hebrews, all the while with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the one who has authored and perfected our own faith. And by faith in what he has done for you, your place at the table is assured. May we always celebrate in that assurance and serve one another in that same spirit. Amen. And may the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds assured by the grace and love that is ours in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.